Yeah, thanks, Dean. My name's Glenn. I'm an addict. Yeah, evening, everyone. Welcome to anyone who's new to NA. You know, anyone back from a relapse or, you know, yeah, visiting from other countries, you know, welcome. It's really, you know, it's an honour and a privilege to be asked to share, you know, and do service in Narcotics Anonymous. And yeah, really anxious, really nervous. My heart's beating like that now. And I was all right until my mate Dave sitting at the back sniggering and sort of said it was going to get recorded and I'll be listening to when it's uploaded and all that. And the old nut just sort of went, and this kind of critical voice that I've got in my head that I've always had that just says, you know, nothing that you say is of any value. You know, you've got nothing good to talk about. No one likes you, you know, and all these sort of messages that I've learned through coming here is kind of my disease, you know, this disease of addiction that I've heard, you know, is described in these rooms, basically. And everyone's story is different. When I first come to NA, I identified immediately, you know. I kind of thought, well, this is where I need to be, you know. And I just want to say, you know, I'm celebrating 9 years clean tomorrow. And, you know, I've kind of, thank you. Yeah, you know, I kind of come to this meeting to get my 90 days, and never did I think I'd be sat on the firing line this side, do you know what I mean? And it was, so it's like I get reflective around the birthday, and it's like I was listening to that fan in the background, and I'm not going to go into my using, but where I was at, like this week, 9 years ago, it's really hot. I was living in a house with people that were like selling different drugs just to find ways and means to get more, basically. And I was kind of like sweating my nuts, you know, off with the curtains drawn, no windows, with a fan that I was kind of convinced was talking to me, you know, like the oscillating bit when it whirs. I was going, what the fuck's it saying, you know? It's like, and every time it wore off, I used again, and then the voices come. But that's what my using was like towards the end. And thank God I knew someone, a family member, who had introduced me to Narcotics Anonymous like a few years before, just by dropping me a bit of literature. You know, am I an addict? And I thought, I was really offended, actually. You know, I was really offended. And, you know, I used to go around her house before the football and using the toilet, and I didn't think anyone knew what I was up to, you know, because my using was hiding it from my family, my friends, so I didn't want them to know what I was doing. And she knew, basically. She'd been through treatment and could see the signs, and, you know, I'll always be grateful to her. So that was me, you know, 9 years ago, and thankfully I knew where to go. I picked up the phone, and I was encouraged to go to a meeting, and I went to a meeting, you know, and I heard about... Do you know what? I was just desperate, actually, to stop. That's what it was. I was desperate. I'd reached that point, you know, that I could have, should have, I don't know, had many opportunities to kind of reach before that, you know, but I was just willing to do something different. And when people approached me at the end of the meeting and, you know, asked for my number and hugged me and that, it was horrible. Like, the feeling that I had was just like... But the alternative was going back to that sweaty room, you know, with the fan talking to me. Mm. If I didn't stick around you guys, basically, that was it. And, you know, I didn't want to go back to that place. And, you know, my experience was that I'd done 90 meetings in 90 days, you know, whilst living in that kind of house. And as I said, I come to this meeting and you know what? I don't know what was going on. There was something at Leicester Square. There was like some kind of like fun fair ride or something. There was like this big like spinning round ride that kind of stopped when you was up the top, and it was like hanging upside down, and I could see like the whole of London, and I was laughing, and it was like, I felt alive again. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt alive again as a result of coming and doing the meetings, you know, getting involved and spending time with people after the meeting. And, you know, and actually that guy who I was with that night, he suggested that I moved out of that house that I was living in, because I was trying to, you know, keep a brave face, not let people know what was, you know, pride, ego, all these things that I sort of didn't know, that defects that I suffered with, you know, they would have killed me, basically. Had someone from this fellowship not said, you need to get out of that house, I'm going to come and move all your stuff, and you know, you move back with your parents. But my pride and ego would have kept me in that, just because I didn't want to admit I was defeated by this, you know. And bless him, he did. You know, Steph, he come, moved my stuff out of my van to my mum and dad's, and you know what, he stopped doing his stuff and he's dead now, you know. And that's been my experience as well, because I heard about how this is a deadly disease, and I thought it's a bit, you know, dramatic when they're sort of saying all this stuff. You know, my denial protected me from seeing the situations that I put myself in time and time and time again, you know, and, you know, thankfully I've kept coming back, you know, and I think things got a little bit better, you know, the obsession to use kind of stopped quite early on, you know, but that stuff that I spoke about, you know, like the ego and all that's kind of like recovered, and, you know, my disease manifested in, you know, relationships, women, you know, sport, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, my experience that me untreated, I can cause a lot more harm, clean, not sedated it, because when I'm in that room on my own, I'm just like harming myself. I'm not like let loose on the public, you know. But when I'm, you know, untreated, I'm hurting a lot of people, you know, and that's kind of what I've done clean, and that stuff's really quite painful to admit in a room full of people. You know, I'm kind of not doing that today. And regardless of the mistakes that I've made, or, you know, the people that I've hurt, I've just kept coming to meetings, and I've had the sponsors, you know, I'm with a third sponsor at the moment, and, you know, I've just been encouraged. And you know, I love all those guys that have taken time out, you know, to listen to me at, like, 1 a.m, 2 a.m, crying my eyes out in bits, you know, that have just given me so much time, you know, and kept me alive, actually, and kept me coming back and you know, putting my bum in these seats. And, yeah, you know, I've just, I'm sort of a bit kind of feeling a bit disconnected at the moment. Like, the last 3 months has been really quite difficult. You know, my granddad passed away after being ill for some time. I've been really busy at work, and I've become a father for the first time, which is amazing stuff, you know, thank God. You know, and thank the programme of Narcotics Anonymous, because none of that stuff was ever going to happen, you know, the good stuff. You know, I didn't turn up for people's funerals when I was using. There was really close members of my family where I was so high and so ashamed of what I looked like and what I was doing, I couldn't bring myself to be in a room of my family, basically. You know, and at my granddad's funeral, I got up and I'd done a reading on my dad's behalf, because he doesn't like public speaking. I can't say I like it, but I've had to learn how to do it in Narcotics Anonymous, you know. I think they call it transferable skills, don't they, in the jobs market or something. But, you know, sitting in a room full of you guys and sort of speaking kind of, yeah, kind of give me a little bit of a boost to kind of do that, you know. And it sort of, it meant a lot to my dad, you know. And it would have meant a lot to my granddad, because that, and they're old school, like, my dad says, why are you still doing the meeting? He's like, come on. So ain't you bored of him by now? You know, don't you get paid for doing that stuff? You know, he doesn't understand that what I've received is more valuable than anything money could ever give. Yeah. You know, that it's given me the ability to be a son, you know, and now a father and a loving partner, you know. And, yeah, it's not easy, though, you know. Like, so he was 7 weeks old yesterday, and... I'm kind of there, but I'm working really, I'm like been working 6-7 days a week, and, you know, it was a traumatic birth. We was in for a week, and he wasn't breathing straight away, so I think there was about 4 weeks between the funeral and him being born, you know. And it was like there was a lot of stuff that kind of went on, and I was just like, I don't know, just felt like a passenger, really. I didn't kind of feel anything, you know what I mean? And I don't know, I was there, I turned up, and yeah, I was at the hospital every day with my missus, and, you know, people from this fellowship were just there, do you know what I mean? People, like, dropping me food up at the hospital, those sponsees coming and spending time with me, having coffees, and just, you know, I had a mate's missus that worked at the hospital that was coming in, do you know what I mean? It was just, it was beautiful, the support that was kind of shown to me, but yet again, you know, by people in the fellowship. And when people ask, you know, why do you still go to meetings, it's like, look, you know, you get to see the lights come on in someone's eye. You know, one of the guys that's bringing me up coffees and stuff was struggling to get a day clean a few months ago, and, you know, and just that's a miracle. You know what I mean? What we get to see over and over again, you know, if we keep coming back, you know, the miracle happening in other people's lives, and it, you know, it's a blessing, you know. And but you know what? There's been a lot of pressure indoors. I've been doing less meetings, and it's like last week, I've had my missus just talking and talking, like, quite aggressively towards me, actually. Do this, do that, you know. And all I'm doing is going out working to pay the bills, you know, pay the bills, pay for her MOT and insurance and stuff. So I had about 3 or 4 weeks of it, and then I lost it, you know, because... And I spoke to her quite aggressively, do you know what I mean? I swore, I slammed the door, I said, I'm getting the bus to work. That's the polite version. And I got the bus to work, and, you know, and on the journey, I kind of reflected, and I thought, oh, do you know what? She's just brought your son into the world and nearly died in the process, do you know what I mean? You need to take that back and make that right pretty quick, you know? And I kind of got on the phone and said what I needed to say, and do you know what? That's what I get from coming here and keep coming here, you know what I mean? And... yeah, we called him George after my granddad. And I just, yeah, I took him to a meeting last, like, I've got a home group, which is Surbiton on a Wednesday night, YMCA, 8:30 till 9:30, and it's a little bit later, so it's like we've got some of the women that come, they bring their kids, it's child friendly and stuff like that, and I think it's really important for me to kind of involve him in that stuff, yeah. and see... you know, what NA's done for me, you know, and I've made that decision. I know everyone's stuff's different, but you know, there's addiction in my side of the family and my missus' side of the family, and I know this programme talks about just for today, but I've already, like, fast-forwarded to when he's, like, 18 and he's having his rock bottom and, you know, having done all this mad using in and out of prison and stuff like that, and I'm like... So I've not been getting much sleep either, you know what I mean, over the last sort of 7 weeks. But I think it's really important, you know, and all them people who I kind of hid this stuff with that I was using with, it's taken me time, but I'm open, you know, I'm Glenn and I'm an addict, you know, and I'm just really grateful that I know what's wrong with me today, really, and I've kind of just kept coming back, and I'm still in with a chance, you know, and this program gives me the tools to deal with life, you know. I'm kind of I come to this fellowship with a massive resentment towards God. Because, you know, I went to, like, a strict Catholic school. It kind of put me off religion for life. And I just see people killing themselves in the name of religion. And I thought, I don't want nothing to do with this, you know. My religion was ecstasy and raving, you know, and all the football. And what's kind of happened for me is that through the process of, you know, working the steps and this programme, it's given me a connection to a God that isn't told me what it is or how it is. It's encouraged me, you know, to kind of go out and find out what that is. And, you know, in the last 18 months, I've painted 2 churches, right? And I had one of these moments probably around Christmas last year, and I was, like, cutting in around the... Well, not cutting in, is like when you're doing the delicate stuff with the paintbrush around the cross. And it was just, like, everyone else had gone home. I was working late to get the job finished. And I just had one of those moments where I just felt this glow inside of just, like... You've been here all along, do you know what I mean? It was never left. You know, my higher power kept me alive from all those situations, all the times that I should have been dead, that actually was revealed to me in my step work. You know, I'm really lucky to be alive, and you know, the only reason that I'm alive today is through, you know, becoming a member of Narcotics Anonymous and you know, all the love and support that I've received by loads of people over the years of attending this fellowship. You know, and I'd like to thank each and every one of you, you know, people with more time, people with less time, people setting up the meeting, you know, and people that do service and have kept these doors open for me, you know. And as I said, if you're new to NA, please just keep coming back. You know, that 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, they were the hardest, you know, key rings that I had to get. And yeah, just please just keep coming back. I'll leave it there. Thank you.